In your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. That is where we're going to be camped out this morning. It's Matthew chapter 18. This is going to conclude our series called Heavy. And last Sunday, I used this chain as an example. We've been talking a little bit about sin. Now, sin, mistakes that you make, you're born into sin, right? You're doing or saying the wrong thing. Or even when someone else commits sin against you, or they said something about you, they've done something to you that's wrong. Sin is not something that we are designed to carry. And last Sunday, Nate, Ronald helped me illustrate the point by holding out the chain to see who could hold the chain the longest, to illustrate also the fact that the longer that you carry something, the heavier that it gets, the heavier that it feels. See, like it or not, believe it or not, we are all created as spiritual beings. We're created as spiritual beings by the living God on purpose. We're created with a design, with a purpose, with an intent, designed to do certain things, designed to behave in certain ways, but also designed to live, to love, to laugh, to enjoy this life, and in designed to live a particular way. I mean, all we have to do is to open up our Bible to come to that conclusion. We're not designed to carry sin. And so the things that go on in our lives, the insecurity, the fear, the doubt, the guilt, the negative junk that we feel is there because we're not designed to carry it. We're born into it. You can go back in previous messages and listen to the origin story from Genesis with Adam and Eve. You know, when you were born with sin. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to get yourself into this situation. That was Adam and Eve. Are you with me? Okay, it's important that you have good theology, good Bible-based theology. You didn't do something to get yourself into sin. The Bible makes it clear that our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, are the ones that made decisions that got us into this place of sin. You're born with it. Okay? Now, we can add to it, right? We can add weight to it. We can bring our own junk into the equation. Is anyone breathing out there? Right? That's right, Pastor Ben. That's right. You can say that's right. It won't hurt my feelings. Okay? We add our own stuff. We bring our own junk into the equation to add weight to us. Right? Right? But then once we come to a place of faith in Jesus Christ, we're free. There's no lock on the chains. Right? The chains are removed. Now, we've talked in the past couple weeks about how you can make a decision to pick your chains back up. Right? To make them a part of your identity. To say, I'm comfortable with this. This is who I am. That's what was done to me as a child. And so that's why I act in this way. Hello? Right? This is who I am. And if you don't like who I am, well, then forget you. But we've got to come to a Bible-based realization. We are not designed to carry sin. We're not designed to walk around heavy. One of the easiest ways to recognize the difference between a child and an adult is that a child can walk light, right? Light on their feet, they bounce around, they skip, they move, right? They're light on their feet. That's the easiest way to recognize an adult. They're not light, right? They start to carry around the weight of this world. Now, when that happens, that's where there's a change that's going on in their life that needs to be fixed. That's not God's design. Okay, are you ready for the Bible? Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Okay? Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 35. Are you there? Okay. Let me get there. This is Jesus talking, okay? He's just told the parable of the lost sheep, which we looked at a couple Sundays ago. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant and owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me, and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king called in the man who he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." Okay, amen to the word of God, right? Now let's pray. God, we thank you for today, this beautiful day, and our opportunity to spend time together. We pray that you would open your word to us, help it to be life to us, and help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's go back to our first verse here and dig just a little deeper. Verse 15. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Now, I want to read this from another translation. Or let's read it from the Message paraphrase. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest and try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch, confront him with the need for repentance, and offer again God's forgiving love. Now, I think that sometimes, unfortunately, particularly in our nation, and in any nation where you have established churches that have been around for a long, long time, where Christianity is something that's been established for a long, long time, we can take the Bible for granted. And when we take the Bible for granted, what happens is we can come to this thinking, this philosophy, that God set us out on this way of doing life and didn't give us any practical instructions. Hello? We can kind of come to this place of thinking, the Bible doesn't have anything to say that really matters in my everyday life. I mean, sure, we come to this mental assent, this decision. Okay, yeah, I believe God, Jesus, yeah, that's great. I'll come to church and it makes me better. It makes my life better. But Jesus, he didn't really have anything to say about how I do business, what I do with my finances, what my marriage is like, what dating is like, what friendship is like. No, actually, there's a lot in the Bible that's not a list of don'ts. That is a lot more of how do we do? How do you do? Right? Today I want to talk a little bit about conflict resolution. Because that's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is giving us very specific advice about how we should relate to others. Now, we're already kind of past the point where Jesus said, love your enemies. Whoa, time out. I don't think you really meant that, Jesus. No, he did. And that's what sets him apart from other religions. That's what sets him apart from other prophets. He said, love your enemies as yourself. Jesus is one of the only ones that talks very specifically about proactive forgiveness. Now, Jesus, in a smaller context, is saying, when another believer offends you. You know what's interesting? Jesus doesn't say if. If you go to church, if maybe one day someone else who calls himself a Christian hurts you. No, Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say if. He says when. Because Jesus knows we're human. And he knows that there'd be people that call themselves believers that are not entirely grown up. Right? No one in this room, of course. So we're all perfect in this room, I'm sure. No. There's no perfect people here. And nobody walks alone. We're in this together. Right? So let's talk in a little bit more specifics. What does Jesus say that we should do? Because what happens is, how quick do we start to walk through life looking like this? Hello? Yeah. Right? Just carrying the stuff that was done to us. Carrying the stuff that was said about us. Carrying the things that other people did that hurt our feelings. Carrying the things where people stole from us, where they broke into our lives and made our lives more difficult. Where even people did things in their own life that was not a direct action to you or words about you, but hurt you. Do you know what I mean? I had a situation this week, and I can't get into details on this one, where someone did something in their own life that affects me, that really hurts me. Jesus didn't say if, he said when. Right? When another believer hurts you. Now let's break it down. What does Jesus tell us to do? Okay, when another believer offends you, hurts you. Now, I want to say this very quickly. My experience in church life has been that there are two things that if a church takes seriously, the church will be healthy and it will grow. Okay? One is sin and how it's dealt with. Okay? And what I mean by that is that there can be private sin in a church that will keep it from being healthy and will keep it growing. Everything can look fine on the surface, but there's private sin, there's secret sin, there's things that are not being dealt with, and most importantly, dealt with in this manner right here. Gossip, there is nothing that will affect unity more quickly than gossip. I've pulled out of business leadership books a very simple principle. Most organizations that are mediocre or average are mediocre or average because the core leadership team never get more than 95% honest with each other. Maybe I should repeat that. I think not everyone caught that. Most businesses, organizations, think about even your job, right, or your school, that are average or mediocre are so because the core leadership team never get more than 95% honest with each other. I'm concerned about my career. I'm concerned about how I'm perceived. I don't want to be the squeaky wheel. I don't want to be the complainer. I don't want to be the negative person. So when the CEO, the boss, comes to me and says, "How is everything going? You know, we could improve on this and that, but other than that, things are great." Leaving out the 5% and your 5% and his 5% and her 5% can add up to 30% of problem. This is a new math. Don't trouble yourself. Where the organization can't get lean enough, can't get efficient enough, can't move the direction that it needs to move with the focus that it needs to move because there is this, "I don't want to be honest." Now, furthermore, because we can't live in symbiotic relationship, because we can't live in unity with each other, because there's a little bit of gossip. How many of you know when you're around someone who has loose lips, they're always talking about someone else? You wonder to yourself, "I wonder what they talk about when I'm not here." Now, what does Jesus tell us to do? When another believer offends you, go privately and talk about it. This step is the most difficult step. Now, what does Jesus say? What is the purpose for going privately and talking to them? He says, so that you can win them back. Now, word of advice from Jesus. The purpose to go privately is to win them back. If you come where your delivery only communicates that your purpose in talking with them is to sling mud at them, is to get it off your chest, is to air your grievances, is to tell them what you don't like about them, well, that's not communication with a purpose for restoration. And what we don't like in America is Jesus' model. Because in America, the government stands up for me and prosecutes my offender. That, unfortunately, is not the Bible pattern. The Bible pattern, we don't have time to establish this morning, the Bible pattern is for the person who is the victim or the one who is offended is the one that must speak out. That's a God idea, not my idea. Okay? But the one who is offended must be the one who speaks out. The one who is offended is the one who must seek restoration. Now, when you go about this, it's really important that your communication be simple, clear, and constructive. If I'm really seeking restoration, I've got to come with, "I'm hurt. This is what you did. This is what you can do to make it right. And I forgive you." Did you catch that? I'm hurt. Offended, ticked off, angry, insert word here. Right? This is why. This is what you can do to fix it. And I forgive you. Now, a Jesus pattern is that you lead with that. You don't lead with, "I'm ticked off." And then if they do nothing, then you can go get someone else. No, no, no. Look at Jesus' language. Compare it with other texts, where other places where Jesus talks about this issue. No, Jesus says you need to come and be clear and say, "This is what occurred. This is what you can do to fix it. And I forgive you." Now, let's just stop. You won't be able to do that in your own strength. We can't take this out of context. Jesus is talking to believers about how they relate with believers. You have to be a believer in Jesus first, because that leverages his strength. This is a really important point. I want to make sure you understand this. You can't do this in your own strength. There's no way. You might be a noble person, and you might think that you have processed stuff correctly with other people before, but it's still gnawing at you. Well, the reason for that is that you didn't deal with it correctly, and you're not asking for God's forgiveness for them. We think, I need my forgiveness for them. No, 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 that's not what Jesus says. We ask for God's forgiveness for them. It is God's forgiveness for them that I give. So this past week, as I'm on the phone with somebody that I've known for a very long time who absolutely hurt me, when I said, I forgive you, in my heart, I'm saying, with God's love, I give you. I give you mercy, I give you grace, with God's love. You understand? It's a very important point because none of this other stuff is going to work for you unless you can leverage God's forgiveness for them. Okay? So I give them God's forgiveness. Now, the obvious point, to be honest with you, I could talk about for an hour alone, is that we don't like to follow this first step the way that Jesus said it. We like to build momentum by talking to other people first. Right? Brother, I need you to pray for me. Do you know what they did? I'm just sharing prayer requests. That's not what Jesus said. Right? I need your help. Listen. We didn't move to Baltimore to get rich. We didn't move here to feed ourselves, to make ourselves happy. We moved here because we cared about you, because we love you. And because I love you, I want to say this to you. Don't ever come to me with something that someone else did until you have talked to them first. Jesus said, go privately and talk about it. Where the purpose is restoration. Now, I understand that I'm still growing up. I've made this mistake many times myself, right? Not everyone is grown up enough, not everyone is strong enough to follow these directions that Jesus gave. It's not an easy thing, but it is how Jesus told us to resolve conflict. Look at the people that we have in this church, people from all over the world, literally, different cultures, different languages, different tastes, different preferences. You're going to tick someone else off. The fact of the matter is that by being in this room today in who we are, there are other people in this city that we are already offending. Do you know that? There are people that believe that church should only be people of one skin color together at any one time. I don't see that in my Bible. You're not going to go through life without offense, but what you do with the offense is the critical thing. Because the quickest way that things get tangled and complicated and politics and backbiting and gossip and even things get blown up. I had a situation in my life, very long story short, where the resolution face-to-face between me and another guy went months longer than it should have, in part because one person in the chain said, wait, I want to talk to him first. Well, you know what happened? What had happened to me started to get blown out of proportion inside my own head. The longer that it went, the more dramatic it felt to me. So when it came to actually talking about it, I found myself saying things that were not actually true. Because the length of time had caused it to feel bigger than it actually was. It's human nature, folks. Guess what? It's not just me. Now the beauty is that God loves you, that God cares about you, that God didn't design you to carry stuff on your own and to resolve conflict by going to 2, 3, 4, 5 other people first. God didn't design us to gossip about each other. God designed us for simple, clear human connections where we love each other, where we forgive each other when we hurt each other. Are you with me? Now, some of us in this room have forms of public communication. Now, I don't have time for a social media seminar, but I wish I did. Posting to your Facebook, your Twitter, your Instagram, whatever, can you believe what they did about me, is not following the Jesus pattern. Hello? Right? Go privately and talk about it. This comes to frustrations, questions, confusion, misinterpretation. Now, what happens if that person rebuffs you? What happens when you get rejected? Oh, you're just being silly. You're blowing that out of proportion. Jesus knew that would happen. So what does Jesus tell us to do? Go get one or two other people. Talk about it. Come back to that person with those people. You don't send your posse out in front of you. Hello? Are you getting the details here? This is important. Okay? Go to one or two other people, bring those people with you, come back to the person, and then talk about it with the same purpose in mind. What is the purpose? Restoration. It's still simple, clear communication. This is what you did. This is what you can do to fix it. And I forgive you. I forgive you. Okay? If they won't hear it, we take one or two other people with you to talk about it. Now, what if they reject you again? You're being crazy. That's just silly. Not that big of a deal. You know, I don't need to apologize. What does Jesus say next? File a lawsuit. Oh, no, he didn't say that, did he? Then he says, go to the church. Well, let me get this straight. If so-and-so says such-and-such about me, I should tell someone else. I should text someone else, right? No. If someone else says or does something, I should call my pastor, right? No. I go privately with a purpose to restore. If I'm rejected, then I go back. I get one or two other people, and then I go back with them, right? If we get rejected again, then I go to the church. Now, who are we talking about? We're talking about a believer, right? And in the case of who this is written to, a believer in the church that you're in. Four best results, right? Okay, some of us are enough Bible idea about the church and what that means. So, I take it to the church, and then what happens? Then we, church leadership, go back with you and talk for the purpose of restoration. Now, what defines a church? Well, one of the last things on the list of what defines a biblical idea of a church is something called church discipline. And what happens in the case of church discipline is when a believer is not repentant, there's a list of circumstances, etc., etc., they are removed from the fellowship. Now, when they are removed from the fellowship, they're just treated as an unbeliever, which is what Jesus says. What does Jesus say about how we treat unbelievers? You love them. But Jesus, it doesn't get easier with Jesus, does it? Right? Jesus doesn't give you an easy way out. Because what he wants you to be is positioned in a place where you need the grace of God. That might be the most important thing I've said yet. Let me say that again. Jesus wants you in a place where you need the grace of God. Like positioned under the water, under the faucet. He doesn't want us going out, getting out of alignment, getting crooked and sideways. He doesn't want us that way. He wants us in a place of, I need your grace. God, I need your grace to live life the right way. Now think about this. How would your life be different if everyone that you interacted with communicated in this way? A lot less complicated. Think about a world of no gossip, no rumors, no communication except face to face. simple, clear, with a purpose of restoration. I got news for you. We have a lot of good things going on in this church, but one of the things that will hamstring us, that will stop us, that will limit us, that will be a hurdle we cannot cross quicker than anything else is if the people that are in this room don't understand this principle. If we don't understand and use this principle with each other, we don't have much hope of growing up into what God has already made a way for us to be. We need God's grace. But I've got good news for you. God lays this out, and He lays this out because He loves us, because He cares about us, because He doesn't want us to have a life where we're carrying around a bunch of guilt. I want to close with a couple of stories to just kind of illustrate our point as we look at what we learned from this. All right, let's look at John 13:35 first. Talking to believers, your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. If we can love each other in the church, it proves that God is real. It proves that Jesus is who He says He is. Now, what do we learn from this very simple principle and from this series where we've been talking about sin, talking about the fact that you're not designed to walk around heavy? Number one, God forgives us. Jesus is talking to believers in a place of already having received God's forgiveness. God forgives us. How many of you are happy about that? Can I get a good amen? Amen. God forgives us. Number two, His forgiveness changes us. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." But all these things sound difficult. And yet, I can tell you for a fact that I've known many people that have come to a place of healing and true forgiveness over circumstances and wounds and problems that seemed insurmountable. Healing, real healing from God is possible. His forgiveness, it changes us. When you've been forgiven, it's easier to forgive someone else. Right? When you think about the story that he told about the two servants. When you've been forgiven, your response should be that you're ready to forgive someone else. If that's not your response, God's judgment is pretty severe. Number three, He expects us to share His forgiveness with others. God has a very clear expectation. He didn't just say, "I forgive you, go your own way." No, He's got a very clear expectation of how His love, how His forgiveness should change us, and then what we do with it. A couple of boys living out in the country, farm, turkey farm. Dad got a brand new driveway, asphalt poured, you know, from the country road back to their house. Boys are always pulling pranks on the turkeys, so of course, this provided some new opportunities. So grabbed a turkey by neck. You know, turkeys have that long neck moving around. Laid the turkey down on the blacktop on the driveway and stretched out a white rope across the blacktop over the turkey's neck, and the boys stood on either side. So of course, the turkey's flailing all around trying to get up. Looks to the right, looks to the left, sees the rope thrashing around, trying to get up. Then they take the rope off the turkey's neck and let it go. Next day, they grab the same turkey. Grab it by the neck, lay it down on the blacktop, stretch the rope out over its neck, stand on either side. Turkey's thrashing around, looks to the right, looks to the left, lays still. Take the rope off the turkey's neck and speed it on its way. Next day, same turkey. Grab that turkey and a piece of chalk. Lay the turkey down on the blacktop. Draw a straight line across the blacktop and over the turkey's neck and out the other side. The turkey looked to the left, looked to the right, laid there. Sometimes we're carrying chains that don't have locks. Sometimes we feel there's a barrier in a relationship that can be fixed easier than you think. Sometimes there really isn't something holding you. It's a trick. Most of the time through college, I had two jobs, paid my way through college. My parents helped me with the car insurance, and that's it. I paid for everything else, tuition, books, everything. And one of the jobs that I had was running a small lunch place, Japanese lunches, rice and chicken and beef and lamb and noodles and all this kind of stuff. Bento boxes. It's a Japanese lunch thing. And one morning I was getting ready for the lunch rush, which involved cutting meat down into the sizes we would make shish kebabs and put them on a grill. And I cut into, which finger was it? I cut into this finger. It was a little dirty. You could see the scar there. I cut well down into this finger. And when I did, I had stuff in a skillet, and I had meat on a grill, and I had the rice going, and I had muffins, and I had coffee. I had all this stuff going on. I'm the only person in the room. And so my immediate reaction is I kind of try to put some pressure on it and put it under the sink, and I keep working, right? I can't let these noodles burn, and I got this meat on this grill, and I'm turning this meat, and I keep working the whole time, right? And then all of a sudden, my mom walks in the door with a friend to have lunch, of all people. I think she only ever came to that place twice, all the time I was there. And I realize that I'm really lightheaded. And I look down in the sink, and I don't mean to be gross, but I was losing a lot of blood, right? And I realize I'm lightheaded. When we hold on to offenses, we're doing life one-handed. Guilt and bitterness and hurt, it takes energy from you. It does. It takes personal momentum. It takes physical energy. It takes emotional energy. It takes spiritual energy. When you are holding on to offense, there's a good book out there called The Bait of Satan. You're taking the hook. You're holding on to something that you don't need to hold on to, that God did not design for you to hold on to. And the longer that you hold on to it, the heavier it feels, the less momentum you have, the harder it becomes to do all of life with just one hand. Are you with me? It's not God's design. God's design is for us to have simple, clear communication with each other. That's 100% honest. That's done in a compassionate way, in a constructive way. Not just slashing each other, right? We know the Bible says there's death and life and the power of the tongue. But God designed us to do life in a way where we bring healing to each other, where we go seeking restoration. God didn't design you to walk around heavy. He designed you to walk around light. Amen? Will you stand with me as I just close in prayer this morning? Now, I fully recognize that what we're talking about is really difficult. You may have hurts from your past that go deep. And you might need someone else to help you process it. And maybe even to help you decide what is something that you need to deal with following this pattern. Here's what I do know. God's love is powerful. God forgave you. And what He forgave you of, like it or not, believe it or not, is more powerful than that thing you're holding on to. So, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you would like prayer today, please feel free to raise your hand or come forward to the front. I'd be happy to pray with you, or one of our other leaders here would be happy to pray for you this morning. God designed us to live in relationship with each other in a pure and a holy way, in a way where we love on each other, where we're always seeking restoration, not carrying these things around. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that, Jesus, You gave us very specific instructions about how to do life. I pray that You'd help us. Help us, Lord, when we're hurt and we feel weak. Help us to find strength in You to deal with things the right way. Lord, forgive us for not dealing with things the right way, and help us to forgive others with your love, that we would go directly, that we would speak clearly and constructively, and that we would follow your advice. God, I pray that this would be huge in us growing into a place of better freedom in our relationship with our parents, with our siblings, with our spouse, with our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. God, how can we reflect you to the world if we can't love each other? Help us to show love the way that you did. I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Today, we're doing refreshments out this door and outside in the hallway, right outside the coffee shop, okay? We have a table set up right out there, so please feel free to gather your kids, your belongings, and make your way right out there, where we've got some great food and coffee waiting for you today.